Hopefully. There it is. Is it working? Am I good?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, now I hear the deep boom of my voice. All 5'7" of me. Stay there. This past week, a young person got in my car, and as soon as they got in, I guess they know me well enough. As soon as they got in, they reached for something up above them in my car. They called the OS bar. OS bar. And I guess that's oh shoot. Nate's driving. I better hold on. That's what that bar is there for, right? That's what that bar is there for. And you know, when you get on a boat, one of the first things you look for is a life vest. And so you actually have little signs there, and it says this is where the life vest is, or life vest. That's what that's there for, right? And so honestly, there are so many things. I was watching. Oh, I got a confession. There's this reality show that I like called Married at First Sight. I heard somebody go, oh no. Oh no, Pastor Nate, what's wrong with you? Married at First Sight. I really like this show because I want to see how they struggle with all the pieces. And actually, there was a guy and this girl, and they've only been married, days. And they're having this conversation about religion. And while they're talking, I watch them, and they're fondling their ring. And I thought, I wonder if they know what that's there for. And the man is trying to, and it's fun to watch, the man is trying to take a position of leading without enforcing his faith. Because the girl is, she's real honest, like, I don't believe that, you know, all religions are the same. And I was sitting there thinking, I wonder how this guy's going to handle that, because I can tell he doesn't believe that. And the show is kind of dancing with it a little bit, but I wonder if the guy knows what the ring is there for. So we got all these things in our life, and you know, what are we there for? What are we, the church, there for? We just sang these awesome songs, and it's really cool because here we sang these songs that were ancient, and we sang these songs that were contemporary, and all of them do the same thing. They all declare who Jesus is to each other and from one generation to the next. Because it's all around the room. There's a lot of generations in the room, right? And it should be that way. It should be such a way that all the generations are together honoring God. And it's not about age or race, because we have one King together. And when I say we, I'm talking about God's people, the church. The church. So here's the question that we're going to ask today. What are we there for? What are we there for? So that's what I want to talk about. But first, have you ever been to a friend's house and they've just come from a vacation and they show you a bunch of home movies and slides? And you're like, oh, please, Lord, let this end. Today's your lucky day. I'm going to show you home movies. And what I would like to do is, are we struggling with a mic? Should I just go straight to the handheld? All right, that's good. All right, so I just want to show you some home movies, and I'm going to take one slide at a time. And I want to say that 2.5 years ago, the Journey Church started off with 12 people in my house. That was it. We had no plan. I would like to tell you we had a plan, but we had no plan. In fact, I remember I was telling my wife that I was going to go visit this friend of mine, Pastor Mackey, because I was a youth pastor at the time, and we were struggling with some financial things, and my wife said, don't do that. You have some things you have to solve. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go see my friend. And she yelled at me anyway. And so when I met with Pastor Mackey, and he knew that I was going to plant a church, and he helped me out by giving me a part-time job here at Plaza as a discipleship pastor, and I got to be invested. I thought I was going to be investing in you. But what God had in mind was you would invest in something far greater than just a man. You were the rich treasure. So actually, I got that job, and it was amazing. We plant my church with 12 people in my house. And so I want to show you some slides. And we just kind of started out. About 6 months later, we end up getting a gym to meet in. And this was our praise team. There it is, three people. three, and it's funny because it's one person singing, a guy with a guitar, and a guy with a box. That's how we started. And then we kind of grew the next slide. You know, we actually added some electronics, and we got a bass. And so, you know, there's electric guitar, so we started changing a little bit, and then you add the next slide. And we grew to about 40 people meeting in a gym, and we would, you can see we put black drape up, and we got a basketball goal, and then we grew again. We added, like, full electronics, and you see there's, like, a full team there. And we got some nice cushiony chairs, and this is probably about last fall, and we were seeing about 50 people meet. It was really cool. God was really blessing things, and then look at the next slide. That's where we are today. And Easter, we had over 70 people, and I promised our church that if we ever went over 70 people, that we would move to a stage that's in the gym, and we would start setting up the stage. So now we meet on a stage, and we've got, like, colored lights and whatnot. It's awesome. It's dazzling. I remember my wife walked in when we had the lights up, and she goes, "Oh, it's like a real church." And so that was beautiful, wasn't it? And it's really kind of cool. We're doing communion there, and we're, you know, it's a church plant, so you're doing everything as cheap as possible. So we don't have actual communion stuff. So we go to the party store and get shot glasses for the juice, and people don't know what they're doing. You know, they're just like, "Oh, okay." And so we have unleavened bread, and the first Sunday came up after the first year, and I've noticed that God has the pattern now of that the first Sunday of every year will be a snow day. Have y'all checked that out the past couple of years? So we, next slide, we went to Facebook Live to do our messages, and so from then on, after that, we every Sunday now we're on Facebook Live. We are broadcasting our stuff on Facebook, and it doesn't look like that. It looks like the previous slide where we just show what we're doing. And so that's cool, and God grew us, and we were around 40, 50 people, and so we decided what we need to do is kind of go out in the community. So in the next slide, we show we had an Easter egg hunt in the community, and we prepared for about 50 people. So when 150 showed up, we were terrified. But you can look at the next slide, and we were getting ready. Everybody was happy working and stuff, so everybody was excited about that. It was a big success, so we decided to have something called a trunk or treat. And you can look at this next slide. And then the next slide, we did this twice. And this couple right here, these folks came to our trunk or treat, and now they are core members of the church. So trunk or treat has been a very interesting experience. We've done it 2 years, and this is why I know it is the right thing to do. This past trunk or treat, a little boy of about 8 came up, and, you know, we want to greet everybody, so we have people who are stationed to go, "Hey, welcome to our trunk or treat. Let me tell you about what's going on." And that's what they do. And so this little 8-year-old comes up and goes, "Oh, I know what to do. You don't have to tell me. I came last year." "Oh, you did? Well, that's cool." He says, "Yeah, my dad was with me back then." What do you say? Something's going on, right? "Where's your dad today?" "Oh, he's in heaven. And I wanted him to see me come to the trunk or treat." And I was like, this is my thought. Thank you, God, for giving our Journey Church an opportunity to just hand out candy and yet to be a blessing to the community, to help bring healing. So the past 2 years we've done trunk or treat. The first year we probably had 50 people come out. Last year I think we had about 200 people show up. And these are just a couple of slides. The little one here, this slide over here, is actually my daughter and her husband, and the little guy up there at the top, he's in the back row, back there. His name is Remy. So y'all be sure to give him a high five if he likes that. We did trunk or treat, and so, you know, Christmas is a big day, and we're very careful about Easter and Christmas because people do family stuff then, and we wanted to reach people so in such a way they didn't have to compete with their family. So we decided to have our Christmas event on not Sunday. So we typically have our Christmas event on Friday nights, and we invite the community. You know how we do it? You know how we invite the community? We go Christmas caroling. So we go out in the neighborhood, and we actually sing Christmas songs. We have to practice them. It's fun to watch. A little bit torturous, but it's fun to watch. And so we sing Christmas songs to people in the neighborhood, and they have one or two reactions. Or they'll go, "Oh my gosh, wait right there." And you can see them running through the house, collecting kids, and shoving their kids out the door, breaking them away from their video games, going, "No, you will watch this." And it's fun. It's fun. So people watch, you know, we sing songs and we invite them to our Christmas party, which is what we do. We invite them to our Christmas party, our Christmas celebration. And let's look at this next slide. So what happened this past year is that one of the ways that our students wanted to invite people was to go and just be present in the community. So they collect something called Giving Away Goodness Bags, which is interesting because the young lady that Chris is talking about actually started a process, a program at our church where we collect toiletries and stuff for homeless folks and put them in Ziploc bags and we give them out when we see people, right? Pretty sweet. Well, we happened to be out when the news caught us. So we were on the news. People in the neighborhood saw us on the news, and so that drew a crowd. And so we drew a team up. We knew it was going to be a big week. And so I said, listen, I need all hands on deck for this event. So here's what I need you to do. Everybody show up, and we're going to serve. And so this next slide, this is how many people showed up to serve. That's just the servants. That's not the guests. We had 60 people come to help serve, and we had 65 guests come. And we gave them a dinner. We gave away a bunch of prizes. We told them who Jesus was. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. And so just to get it, this next slide shows you what the crowd looked like. So we're still in the gym. We were on a stage. And then just so you know that we actually did go caroling, you can see this next slide, and that's us caroling. Nervously caroling, waiting for somebody to throw something at us. We knew then that we had to reach the community, that we have to be for the community. So we decided to create an initiative called 4757. And we made these little red cards up that says hashtag 4757. And we could leverage social media. And the school that we meet at asked us to help them out. So we decided, okay, we want to be for the community. We'll help you out. They have an auction every year, and they invite a couple hundred people to come to their auction where they raise money for their school. And so they invite the neighborhood to come, and there's like inflatables and cotton candy and balloons. So they asked us to man it all. And I said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll bring our volunteers to bear. You guys, you teachers, hang out with your students and your families, and we'll hang out and just take pictures and man the balloons and the inflatables and the games. And you guys just have fun doing the auction. And so we did. And so this next slide, we were excited about it. You can see my friend, that's Creative Pastor Grant. He was super excited about it, pointing to our sign. And we took pictures of folks as they came around. We just served them. We just served them. We didn't say particularly who we were. We didn't try to advertise too much. We just said we wanted to be for you. And people really responded to that. So these are cool pictures of folks who were just hanging out. And this next slide just shows you how big the scope of the inflatables were. That's actually like one third of all the inflatables, because they not only we brought two, and they brought eight inflatables that we had to manage. So it was really pretty exciting. And we didn't play on the inflatables. So you can see this next young man, he's actually 12. His job was to man them, and that's what he did for 4 hours. He helped kids out for 4 hours, and kids loved it. You can look at this next slide. We had a bubble machine out there, and I was shocked at how fun that was. People just running through bubbles. But then bubbles are awesome. Our student ministry, our whole process about being intergenerational is massive to us. So we have a student ministry called Catalyst, because Catalyst means that it's something that makes something else happen. And our students are part of what makes our church happen. They are not the future of the church. They are the church right now. And so I want to show you these three, just to give you an idea of how intergenerational we want to be. This next picture, there are three young ladies. The first one is a college student. The second one, she's in her first year of college, by the way. The second one's in her first year of high school, and the third one's in her first year of middle school. And the three of these young ladies, on their own, went to an assisted living facility and sang hymns with the folks there for an hour and a half, just to be present, just to be for the community. And the same kids, let me show you a bigger picture of the kids. They went out again in the spring, and just next picture, they went to a park, and they handed out water bottles and 757 cards just saying, hey, we want to be for you, and they had those bags with them. And so this next slide shows how they were going to kids on the basketball court and just giving away water bottles, and they went to Greenbrier. We know in Chesapeake where the homeless people are, and so we actually go directly to them, and we would give them those giving away goodness bags. And so that's what our students had done. And people are seeing that. And it affects them. To tell you the truth, we were impacted by this other organization called Vigilant Hope. And Vigilant Hope is an organization that helps train churches and kind of gives you opportunities to learn how to serve homeless. And that's something that we feel like God is calling us to do. So every year we take a group of people down to Wilmington, North Carolina, to kind of get trained and to serve. That's our mission trip of the year. And it is half students and half adults. You can look at this next slide, and these are a couple of folks who went, and that is a teacher in the Norfolk Christian Academy, and the young lady you just saw. And this was the group. This next picture is the group of who went. The chubby guy on the end, that's me. And you can see it's a mixed group of people. There's a lot of different generations, and we had a blast. We prayed for each other. The next slide shows us praying for each other. And what I really like about this is that I'm supposed to be the pastor, and I'm praying for everyone. And the little girl, the 12-year-old, is praying for us. And I'm just in awe of what God can do. I think that's what the church is there for. What God can do. And then, more than that, the church is meant to be for the community. So these next couple of slides show us working, and you can see that there are students and adults, and there's actually some younger ones in there. They don't like for us to bring kids younger than 10, because you really have to manage younger kids than 10, and just less work, but everybody's working side by side, so the adults and the students are all working together, and just so you know, I had my tool belt on, and I was doing electrical work. It was great. I loved it. My friend there with the pink hair, we joked him a lot, but he ran that tiller for 2 days. So I was really proud of him. What is the church there for? We are there to be in the community. We are a sent people. Now, this last event I want to tell you about is something that we've shared a lot, Plaza and the Journey Church, and it's called Sports Camp. Let me show you this next slide. This week, we're going to be doing something called JC Camp. We don't call it Sports Camp anymore. We use sports. But it's like a vacation Bible school, but we try to make it fun. In fact, here's my goal. And we reached it with my other grandson. My other grandson is 6, and he went to camp last year, and my wife said, "Roland, did you enjoy camp today?" He said, "No, Grandma. It's not camp. It's party camp." And so, but see, that's exactly what I want to do. I mean, let me show you some pictures. The first year we did it, we had like 30 campers and a lot of counselors from Plaza. You might recognize Mr. Announcement there. He was one of our counselors. And I think, Marcus, are you joining us again this year? I think he is. I think he's in the hall. What's he doing? He knew I was talking. He went in the hall. I thought he was the one to give me the big buildup last year. So, I think he's helping us out this year. And we had like 30 campers, and so we have a family day. This next slide shows a picture from family day. You might recognize that little girl in the middle. And we just kind of do a presentation, and we served food after this presentation, and we tell people about Jesus, and it's a big party for the families of the campers. The next year we do it, you can take that next slide, it grows a little bit. Instead of 30 campers, there are 50 and about 25 counselors. And that was way more fun. I don't know if you were there for that, but let me show you how they taught them how to church clap. This next slide shows a dance called the church clap. Oh, see, those are there. It's like, yeah, remember the church clap? We were teaching little kids how to do this dance, and they were dancing the church clap. They were dancing for Jesus. How cool is that? It is party camp for Jesus. So we have another family day, and we had our largest number ever come to Journey Church. There were 160 folks there, and we fed them all. My poor wife did all the work. It was awesome. And we're looking forward to what God can do, because the church should be for the community. I think that's what we're there for. Too often the church is known for what it's against, and they're not known about what we're for. We are for Jesus, who is for us, who wants us to be for people. People don't want to hear they want to do, you know, this is the thing about sin. Sin really is, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But God says, I have a way for you to live that's a real life right now and forever. It's a real life. And when people hear that, they tend to transform. They tend to change. So let me tell you some stories about some of the people that God has been transforming at the Journey Church. So this next picture is a picture of something that we were excited about. That is a portable baptism. And since we've started, we've baptized 12 people at the Journey Church, which we think is a little low, but we're going to hit that. We want to hit that like double by the end of December. So we'll be having a baptism in September. And you know what's really cool? You know how we do a baptism? We announce, we're going to have a baptism. Aren't you excited? And that's all we do. We don't know if anybody wants to be baptized. We'll just tell them we want to do a baptism. And every time God provides somebody, say, I want to follow him. So that's my deal now. It's like, I'm just going to say, we're going to do a baptism. I have no idea who's going to join in. And God brings somebody to the family. It's the coolest thing. It's the most amazing thing. When we tell people about who God is and that he brings transformation now and forever, here's what happens. Look, this next guy, this is one of my favorite people. This man is not a Christian, and he'll tell you that. But he didn't darken the door of a church for 40 years, and now he's every Sunday at the Journey Church. And this past Christmas, this man who's in command of other people in the military knew there was someone in his command that was going through some tough times, and he invited this person to our Christmas celebration. And so I said, why did you do that? He said, Nate, I knew this person was suffering, and I wanted to bring them to a place where I know they could be loved. And this non-Christian was being evangelistic for Jesus. He didn't know what he was doing. And I don't even care. I'm just going to keep talking to him, keep loving this guy, because if he's drawing people to Christ, I'm going to stand up for him. So that's one story. This guy, this next young lady, her boyfriend, who's a senior at the local high school, came to me and said, hey, Nate, I would like to get some hours for this award I want to get. I need some community hours. And I'm like, yeah, you want to work? Come on. So we got him in, and he was serving on Sundays. And then Sunday he brought this girl. This is his girlfriend. And she came twice and then started telling us how she loved it. Well, what church do you normally go to? I don't normally go to church. Is this what it's like? It is here. So two more Sundays, and she comes up to me and says, Nate, I don't know why I have to talk to you, but there's a little boy in my community, and I want to find a way to invite him to church. He's autistic, and I invite him. Oh, yeah, you bring him. Let us know when he's coming, and we'll make sure everything's cared for. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about Jesus? And from that little girl trusted Jesus with her life. It was just crazy. And now, and today you talk to her, and that smiling face is what you see. She serves every Sunday. She serves every Sunday just setting things up. She's invited her friends. Oh, my gosh. She has invited her friends from work who don't know Jesus to come to the Journey Church. And one of those friends, her first day, wrote this big letter on our connection card. We call it a Journey Card, about how she thought, this is a non-believing girl, how she thought she was supposed to be there. She didn't know why. She wanted somebody to talk to her and help her understand. Good gosh. So, like I said, we've been baptizing. This young man was baptized. He was the first guy we baptized. This next young man, his name is, well, I won't tell you his name. This next young man, he grew up in a Catholic tradition and came to our church because he was hurt by something that went on. You know, sometimes church people ain't the best people. I'm not talking about Christian people. I'm talking about church people. And this friend in this Catholic church was hurt. And he started coming to the Journey Church, and he found a place where he could be loved. And when we announced the baptism, he came to me. And I remember he's Catholic, so they were baptized when they were a baby. He came to me and says, Nate, I don't know why. I think God wants me to do this thing you guys call a believer's baptism. Yeah, let me tell you about it. And we told him about it, and I got the joy of baptizing him. This young lady's this young lady right here, her dad was dating a woman who came to our church. He brought her by accident. 3 months later, she's trusting Jesus with her life. This one, though, is my favorite. This next little girl was baptized, and I asked her why she was 8. Why do you want to be baptized? Because I want the whole world to see how much I love Jesus. Okay, you're in. Come on. And so after I baptized her, you notice her shirt's red. Well, this next person, she looks a little older. That's her mother that I baptized right behind her. You want to know the best part? The next person I baptized after this was her grandmother. And then this kid right here, I actually, you know, pastors get these weird invitations. And I got this invitation to go to this young man. He has his 12th birthday party. And I'm like, do I really want to go to this birthday party? Well, you know, I'm a pastor. I'll be good. I'll go to this party. They got cake. And I actually ended up kind of late. And I showed up just in time for the cake. Hallelujah. And so I got there and I felt kind of bad. And I was telling my friend, I said, dude, I got here just in time for the cake. And this kid right here goes, it's the best time to show up. And I struck up a conversation with this kid. I had never met him before. And I end up going, well, yeah, I'm a pastor of a church. A church? You seem too cool to be a pastor of a church. Thank you, kid. So I said, well, why don't you come hang out with us on Sunday? Bring your mom and dad. And he said, well, my mom and dad, you know, they're not together, but I'll bring my dad and his girlfriend. Bring your dad and his girlfriend. Dad and girlfriend comes. Dad is so, I don't even remember what we talked about, but something happened to dad. Dad calls mom up, who's married to another man, so that they can both be there. And so now, and I don't understand it. I don't pretend to, but God is working in their lives. And mom and her husband, they're every Sunday and they've been inviting people. And so God is just doing amazing stuff. And it's, I wish I could tell you that was me, but y'all know me. It ain't me. It's not me. And these are a picture of some of the other folks we baptized. These are the lives that are being transformed. And God is on the move. God is on the move. And he's not on the move just at our organization, our group of people, with our particular mission. He's on the move here. So what are we there for? If God is on the move and God is moving, in the story of Moses, the people go where God goes. And because we are the people of God, we are a sent people. Now, this shouldn't be anything unusual for you guys, right? You've heard the scripture before. So take a look at this scripture. It's in Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. So yes, amen, exactly. This is what we're called to do. This is who we are. We are the called out people of God, and we're called out to be sent because God is on the move. And that's a big challenge. Because sometimes we don't like to go. I feel comfortable. I'm cool where I'm at. But that's not what God has asked us to do. He's asked us to go. That's why we have Trunk or Treat, because that's kind of a going. It's really cool that we don't actually, I know that this is going to be hard to hear. It's cool that we don't meet in a building that's called a church, because the church isn't a building. The church is the people. So every Sunday, we experience a gathering of believers, a growing gathering of believers, who understand that they are the church. That they are the church, and that they are a sent people. It is, and to watch what happens to my friend who's a non-Christian say that he brought somebody to a place where he could be loved, to watch the 16-year-old give her life to Jesus, to watch this little girl and her mom and her grandma give their lives to Jesus, to watch this happen and watch God bring hope and healing and wholeness to the community. Hey, man, it's worth it to serve. It's worth it to serve. Therefore, be relentless in love. Therefore, be relentless in love. You can't get tired of loving people. You can't. Well, there's two reasons for that. One, you're not supposed to. Two, if you're loving people, you get more back than you ever give. If you're investing in others. So this guy, Paul, who was a non-Christian before, encounters Jesus, and then he changes his whole life. He's the one who is relentless in love. With the rest of his life, he gives his life to be relentless in love. And so and he writes a lot of letters from jail encouraging people. Here's one. He writes, and he tells people this in Galatians. He says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up." You could actually say, "Therefore." "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." Just so we're clear now, it is not a choice. We do good to everyone. That's how people are going to know who we are. We do good to everyone. And there are people who are waiting for the opportunity for us to do something not so good so they can go, "See, I knew they were judgmental." Which is funny because that's a judgmental statement, but that's another conversation. But we do good to everyone. And you know why we can? Because of the one that we declared had a name above other names. The one who invests in us. The one that Marcus was talking about in his prayer. "I don't know how, God, you love me so much." See, I don't know about you, but I know me. I don't know why God loves me. I mean, I just know me, and he has been shaping and transforming me for years. Real love is putting others first, and real love doesn't give up. It just fuels itself. So if we're going to love others when they don't love us, we have to love each other inside the family of faith, because we have to love outside the family. Does that make sense? You are the light of the world. And the light of the world, Jesus, is in you. You are the light of the world. And that's Jesus' words. Relentless love bears fruit a long time. So the first Sunday Lisa and I are here, it was a hard transition out of the church that we were in. It was hard for lots of different reasons. There's when you pull away from a family, there's a sort of a disconnecting and brokenness that happens. And we got here and we're nervous about new people and we don't know what to expect. This was my experience. And you can ask my wife this question. So much mercy and love poured out of this place. Out of you. So much mercy and love poured out of you. That you were healing my wife and I to empower us to go beyond and to plant a church. You did that. Did you know that? Did you know your love poured into us and we got to give it away to other people so that other lives could be transformed? Plaza, you did that. And I can't thank you enough. Because of this truth, we tend to overestimate what God can do in the short term and then underestimate what he can do long term. So don't do that. Don't worry when things don't go as fast as you think they should. But don't sell God short on what he can do in the long term, because God is God. Here's another thing. What you bring to God is enough for him to use. You can't be thinking, "You know, Nate, I'm kind of old. You know, Nate, I've got a lot of infirmities. You know, Nate, I don't really know how to talk to people about Jesus. You know, Nate, I don't even know all the stuff in the Bible. What can I do?" Friends, listen, my non-Christian friend is being affected by Jesus so much, he's inviting people to church. What you bring to God is more than enough for him to use. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. One of the best people I've ever met to share the power of God in their life was a person who was dying from cancer. And she died. And the people that were impacted by her trusted Jesus even after she was gone, because she brought all of herself to God. And God used her good talents and used her brokenness. You know, the Bible calls us like jars of clay, right? And we have something in us. Well, the truth is as jars of clay, most of us have cracks, right? We got cracks in our jars of clay. We've got cracks. The beauty of God being the light within us is that He shows out through the cracks. And people see that. That's what the church does. That's what we're there for. God shows up, friends, all the time. In you, in us, He shows out. Paul, this writer, Paul, in the New Testament, he's trying to help people understand that it's not about your special gifts or your giftedness. And so he told them, he says, you know, I personally have this problem right now. I have this physical ailment. We don't even know what it is. He won't tell us. He says, I have this. He called it a thorn in the flesh. He says, I got this problem. And you know what I did? I asked God to take it away. And he probably went something like this. God, if you take this away, I will be a better preacher for you. God, if you take this away, I will go wherever you want me to go. God, if you take this physical ailment away, I will do great things. And so he prays to God, and God answers him, and he says this. God says to me, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, I got a challenge for you. What you have done, Plaza, is you took a little bit of love and investment and you put it in a few people, and God is building something with it. It's not me. And you did it. And every day from here on after, no matter who you are in this room, God will use you to build others, to draw Him to Himself. To bring hope and healing and wholeness. And you may not see all the results. You may not see them right away. But we are trusting a God who does anything and everything. Because you are a sent people, my challenge to you is this. Be relentless in love. Be relentless in love. Don't give up. You don't have to. The more you love, the more fuel you get. And bring whatever you have to Jesus. And He will use it for good. Let me be honest. It may not be your good. It'll be a good worth giving for. A great good. Can you receive that challenge? One of the things we do at the Journey Church is we have a time of reflection. And we ask you to just kind of think about what God has said to you today. And we have some quiet. What I want to do here today at Plaza, to not break with something you guys are used to, I don't want to confuse you, is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to come down here. And let this be a place where you can make a statement or a prayer, whatever you want to do. And then my friends Chris and Dan, and let's see if I see any more folks. Pete, and if I missed any other deacons in the room, they're here. Tony? Sorry, Tony, you're behind the window. The glare's behind you. I thought it was the Lord. Listen, you can pray with these men. You can pray with these men about anything, and God will use them and you. So while I pray, and our team comes up to lead us in this last song, it is a time of reflection. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? And we would be glad to pray with anybody who wants it. Or if you would just like to trust Jesus today, if you just want to say, man, I'm in. I don't even know why, Nate, I'm in. I'm believing Jesus is the Son of God, who is God, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead. I don't even know why I believe that, but I'm in. Hey, I'd love to pray with you today. Father, I pray that you will continue to grow your church. It is yours. And Lord, I pray that you will pour out your blessings on Princess Anne Plaza so that they may be and continue to be a sent people. Growing in love, growing in spirit, growing in number, growing for your glory. I praise you, Lord, for who you are. I pray that you will continue to be evident here among the people and that you will show out from them. In Jesus' name, amen.